Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Win comes down to a 2-point conversion. It was definitely
right after the week that we said that they should have gone for two against Kansas City.
It was totally the right call.
Of course,
absolutely the right call for Zach Taylor and the Bengals to go for two. No question. Nobody should be critical of Zach Taylor for that.
Missed the penalty too.
Yeah, missed penalty, but they also had four penalties on the drive that moved them down the field.
Should never got to that point.
That's where I'm. You know, same thing applies whether we're talking about the Chiefs or not. Like, I hate making it seem like the refs cost anybody a game. There was
tough
question
to miss a penalty,
a questionable call on the 2-point conversion for sure. But there was also, to me, a little soft call or two that got the drive pushed 50 yards down the field for Cincy. Anyway. So, great game. Baltimore continues to put pressure on Pittsburgh in the AFC North race. I told you I didn't care if Baltimore won because, to me, they still aren't going to be a one seed.
They're effectively tiebreakers
and everything like that. Then you have Cincinnati, who is a 4-win football team, and they are 4-6. We have talked about this at great length. I said yesterday I wanted the Ravens to win to just end this. Just
bury them.
Bury Cincinnati.
But they played close.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
So people aren't going to be ready to bury them yet.
Bury them. Stop the conversation. Much of my frustration about this has been, as you guys know, and our disagreement with Drew has been, we have to stop talking about a 4-win team like they're an 8-win team. They're a 4-win team for a reason. Yes, Joe Burrow is playing amazing. Fact. That is true. He was incredible last night. Jamar Chase, the stats he put up were insane last night. Also a fact. True. You know what is also a fact on top of that? They're a 4-win team and their defense is garbage. Their defense sucks and they can't beat anybody worth a damn in the NFL. What, the Panthers and the Patriots are two of their 4 wins?
No, the Patriots was a loss.
They lost. Even worse. They couldn't even beat the Patriots. I was trying to give them credit.
No, they lost to that team, unfortunately.
Where are you at, Drew? Because I feel like we can't, at some point, you know, like they do have to win a game.
You
like,
gotta just call it, Drew.
It's over. It's done. The notion of like, well, they're gonna make the playoffs and win a playoff game. How can you say that when they're a 4-win team?
Because they have to make it. I mean, if they make it, they have just as good of a chance as
they
anybody.
Have to go 5-2 just to make it. Does this look like a team that could go 5-2?
Carrington said it last night. They gotta go 5-2.
They can't.
All right, let me give you the I will promise to for Cody and I not to interrupt you for the next 40 seconds. Give me the path. Tell me why it's not over and what it looks like for them to get in the postseason. And don't tell me they're going to win a playoff game. Just tell me how they're getting here because they have to get there first.
Okay, so if they need to go 5-2, but it includes, if you look at the schedule, it includes games against teams that are on that bubble list. They play Pittsburgh twice still. They play the Chargers. They play the Broncos. They have to win those games in order to get there. We already know they have to go 5-2 anyways, but if you win... If they go 5-2, it includes wins against the Chargers. It includes wins against the Broncos and the Steelers. They're going to position themselves in that spot where they can make the playoffs still. If the Chiefs beat Chiefs fan, if you want to bury the Bengals, you should hope that the Broncos beat the Chiefs this week.
Okay, it's been 40 seconds. Crazy. We got to cut you off there. That is the most ludicrous thing.
For that
the Chiefs fans
do
are
you
not.
Know why?
Chiefs fans. I understand the standings. Chiefs fans are not. Rooting to lose. Come on now, Drew. Stop with that. That is like loser talk, though, from a Cincinnati fan. Like,
no, it's not.
Suggesting like Chiefs fans should want the Broncos to beat them on Sunday.
If you want the Bengals to miss the playoffs as badly as you sounded yesterday, Gold, then you should
not be
want
my thing
Broncos
is because I'm sick of talking like them like they're the same team they were 2 years ago. They beat, congratulations, Joe Burrow. You're right. You always have that, and clearly Bengals fans are going to literally take that with them to the grave. They beat Mahomes once in the AFC title game. At some point, I don't care what happened. A lot of things have happened in three or four years ago. There's a ton of things that have changed in this world in 2 or 3 years. And Cincinnati winning an AFC title game feels like 20 years ago.
That's fine.
I don't care if Cincinnati makes the playoffs. I'm just saying they won't. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't fear them if they get in because there's no reason to fear them. Look, I'll give credit.
You fear the Ravens.
Of course I do.
No, you can't say that to me because the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Ravens.
The Chiefs don't fear anybody, if we're being honest.
The Ravens are winning those games, but to me, you can't watch last night and say, I'm worried about that Ravens team against this Chiefs team. I don't think you can.
I think that's a fair statement as far, but I'm not worried about Cincy. I'm not worried about Baltimore. I don't think I'm worried about Buffalo. We'll find out next week if I should be. Both of those teams last night, their defenses are terrible. Baltimore included. Defense is horrific. But at some point, like, the wins do have to matter at some point. Like, we can keep saying, like you went through the schedule, and I said that I wanted to give you a chance to do that, and you said, like, they go 5-2. Do we not see the problem with saying that out loud? Like, they're a 4-6 team, and then we're like, they got to go 5-2, and then we go through the schedule, and we're like, oh, it's an easy schedule. Nobody can say they have an easy schedule when they themselves are a 4-6 team, though. Like, the Chargers, they play them next Sunday night. Why is Cincy any better than the Chargers? Why are they any better?
They're not.
I'm not saying that it's an easy schedule. I'm saying that if they go 5-2, they're going through the Broncos, they're going through the Chargers, who are directly competing with them, where if the Chiefs beat the Broncos this weekend, the standings basically shape up the exact same as they were yesterday, with seven games to go.
But so, they have to win eventually.
Here's the trouble on the map.
I understand, but I'm telling you that if they're going to make it, they're going to beat the Chargers and the Broncos. If they go 5-2, which they have to do, they will, in all likelihood, need to beat the Broncos and the Chargers to do that, which theoretically they hold tiebreakers on. It helps them get into the dance. And based on what we've seen last night, great game last night. It's been great whenever they play the Ravens, it seems like. It's been great when they played the Chiefs. They have just as good of a shot as anybody, I think, because of how good that offense is if they make the playoffs.
Defense, but you also, like, you can have a great offense, but their defense isn't just, like, middle of the road, like, I don't know if it's good to match their offense. They're one of the worst defenses in the entire NFL. Like, they had a 2-touchdown lead last night. Like, that is
and
a
problem.
They blew a 2-toudown lead.
I understand, but
they're poorly coached.
I understand, but in the same breath to me, then you can't. The conversation of who's a bigger threat, you cannot utter that the Ravens are not a threat to the Kansas City.
Well, I don't think
Chiefs
any of them are a threat, as I said. But if we're forced to choose, I would say Baltimore's a bigger threat than Cincy because at some point you have to win in the NFL.
Well, I understand. You might say they're a bigger threat than Cincy, and that's fine. But I think that based on the Ravens are no threat to the Chiefs and would lose by double digits if they played the Chiefs again in the playoffs because they don't have that defense.
But this is like, that goes back to the Mahomes stat I gave you when he was in 2018. I'm not arguing and never will argue that Joe Burrow's not having a good season, but good teams, well-coached teams, still win despite their flaws. The Ravens are only a game back in their division. They're winning despite their flaws. Chiefs have won despite their flaws in postseason. I trust the Ravens to do that more. And look, some of this is just like, the math doesn't add up for me in Cincinnati because I imagine if I went through the last 20 years of history, they have never swept the Pittsburgh Steelers in a season. So, like, they're going 1-1 in those games, which means they have to go 4-1 in the remainder games, which is just assuming they get one against them. Look, I'll give credit to Pete Sweeney, which I think points out the whole thing about Cincinnati and the arrogance that thinks they deserved to be in this conversation at any point, which is the Bengals have more losses this season than the Chiefs have combined since they faced them in the AFC title game and beat them. So, I mean, the Bengals haven't been relevant to the Chiefs in a long, long time.
Their record is now 13-15 since Mr. Burrowhead comment. 13-15 since that happened. And they're 7-7 at their own stadium, and they're 0-3 at Arrowhead ever since calling it Burrowhead.
Oof.
Yeah, I think that, look, they showed last night, though, that I think that they're just as much of a threat if they make the playoffs. Again, the big question is if they make the playoffs.
Right. That's a huge problem.
Do you think they're going to make the playoffs?
Of course he does. If they lose next week, he'll...
Well, I'm curious, because I don't think they lose next week,
I'm sure there'll be some other reason why they can now suddenly be an 8-win playoff team. I mean, it's kind of crazy at this point.
I think right now, the race isn't against the Ravens. Like, them, obviously, the win would have been big, but the race isn't against the Ravens. The race is against the Chargers, and the race is against the Broncos at this point, and the Colts. And the Steelers or whoever else is in there. They need to win the game next week, I think.
So they had two massive games in a row, and they lost the first one, though. Like, those are two
today, games in the season. Today is the last day until the Bengals are above 500. I'm serious. This is it. It was a great game last night, and we always talk about Thursday Night Football, and it has implications for the Chiefs. But until the Cincinnati Bengals get above 500, I am done talking about them until that point. Dude. After today, this is it, because it is almost Thanksgiving in a couple weeks, and we're talking about a 4-win football team somehow. Like, but if this and if that, and at some point the results matter more than anything else. Wins and losses, coaches don't get extensions because they were close to winning Super Bowls or close to making the playoffs. Teams don't become great teams because they were competitive. Wins and losses ultimately is all that matter, and one team that we're talking about here has four of them. And we suddenly think they're going to go 5-2 the rest of the way.
I mean, it's happened before with other teams.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but there's no reason to think that they can't make the playoffs, that they can't turn it around. Now, every single game other than the Eagles game, I think Bob mentioned they're 1-7 in close games. They've scored 33 or more points in five games this year. They're 2-3 in those games. The rest of the league is 38-1. In those games. So they're, I mean,
their defense sucks.
It's always like,
it's not on Burrow. You're describing I'm not saying Burrow's no good.
I'm not trying to argue anything. I'm just saying that every single game has been one play away in certain scenarios. They just haven't been able to make that play. But I don't think that it's something where you watch a team, like if you watching them play, I don't think you can say they're in the same conversation as, I don't know, the Raiders, I guess, or I don't know.
Not the Raiders, for sure. Because the Raiders have like two wins. So of course it's not
the
Raiders.
Indianapolis Colts,
but they are though.
You don't think that the Colts, in watching them play,
they're not as good on offense, but they're better on defense, which means they're equally mediocre.
That's where we just differ.
They're
definitely not in
the team to win the Super Bowl. I don't think in watching them play, but they're not. They're not like there's some teams whose record is fake.
I hear you.
They are 4-6. I know what they are, but they're. Team-wise, the way that they're playing, they're capable of beating anybody in the league. Where there's other 4-5, the Colts are not capable of beating any team in the league the way that I think the Cincinnati Bengals are based on how you have watched the games this year.
But that's what I'm saying. We give Cincinnati way more benefit of the doubt based on prior history. That's what we're...
One game, two years ago.
That's all this conversation. I'm 100% with you. They, of course, are not in the same category of the Raiders who have two wins. Absolutely not. But they aren't any different than the Jets or the Colts. They're not like the
because
only reason why we think
the
only
the
reason
record is
absolutely we only think they are different. We're talking about bad football teams that don't close out games. The Jets don't close out games either. They're not any different.
If they win on Sunday, they'll have the same record.
Nobody is saying that Joe Burrow is worse than Aaron Rodgers. That's not the argument. But it is still a team sport. Last time I checked, and they are not a good football team. You don't accidentally become four. Now you might accidentally be a 9-win team instead of an 11-win team. Like there might be a bad break that happens. A guy gets hurt or whatever. You're not 4-6 instead of 7-0 or 7-1 or something like that. That doesn't just happen by accident when your quarterback's been also healthy all year and your head coach is the same head coach, not a first year head coach. They're a flawed football team.
I also think Ja'Marr Chase is the least likable player in the league. He's like a terrible teammate. He had 270 yards and three touchdowns last night. And then in post game, he was like, sometimes Joe doesn't see it. Like, the hell, man?
I mean, it's true.
He just threw it to you for 270 yards and three touchdowns.
No, I know, but if we're looking at the biggest plays of the game, I think he's right in the fact that Joe Burrow missed the throw. He went deep twice, and I talked about it with Bob and Dusty that's not a Zach Taylor thing.
That's like, not a teammate thing. Teammates say,
yeah, sure,
we fell short. You don't throw your quarterback under the bus.
I don't think Joe would. I guess it would take it as that. But Joe did miss him. I mean, he had him on the cross route.
We will talk about Cincinnati one more time later on today on the show, and then I'm serious. I'm not talking about them until they're a 500 or above 500 football team. This is it. This is it.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.